Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various subjects that impact our very existence. We dive into the issues and events that shape, challenge, and sometimes disrupt our daily lives. Today, we dive into a major shift on the world of social media and youth protection. Instagram has announced that all teen accounts will now, by default, be limited to content comparable to what would appear in a PG-13 movie. In an era of rising mental health concerns and growing anxiety about AI's influence on young minds, this marks one of the strongest steps a platform has taken to safeguard minors online. But with this new frontier comes big questions for brands, marketers, influencers, and anyone communicating in the digital space. Will messaging need to be written? Will storytelling change? How will youth-focused marketing evolve under PG-13 boundaries? Eric Yavarban knows this territory inside and out. He is CEO of Eric Communications, a leader in public relations, crisis management, and brand strategy. He will help us unpack how Instagram's new rules will reshape digital communication and what it means for the future of online engagement. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Eric Yavarban, welcome to 411 Team.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, well, thank you. Can you first walk us through exactly how Instagram changed and why PG-13 has become the benchmark?
Well, look, I'll take a little bit of a step backwards. There's several concerns surrounding, you know, teens having unrestricted access to social media and the internet in general. I mean, there's a Pew Research study that said roughly one in five, that's no small number, that's 20%, say social media sites have hurt their mental health. And, you know, we're seeing all sorts of information flowing out about that, I don't know, for the last several years. I mean, look, of course, there's obvious concerns when it comes to teen social media use. There's cyberbullying. There's promoting, I don't know, a specific body image. There's only showing content to your peers that's happy because everybody's always happy and on vacation and having a great meal. And that's just not real life. But, you know, however, like seeing a teen or a teen seeing mature content before they're old enough to process it, that's very problematic to mental health. Social media platforms like Instagram, they already, in theory, restrict sexually, you know, suggestive, graphic, disturbing, drug and alcohol related content from teens, in theory. This new PG-13 rating is going to provide stricter controls. It's going to hide posts with strong language and, you know, risky stunts, I don't know, cannabis, paraphernalia. It's going to block search terms like alcohol and gore. And parents will also have, you know, more restrictive control on their teen accounts, all of which is a good thing. The question is, what does PG-13 actually mean? Because the motion picture industry already has a problem with Instagram even using that as a descriptor, because that's theirs and they have very specific, you know, guidelines as to how they rate, you know, motion pictures. And not only what will it mean, but, you know, how will it actually be, I don't want to say enforced, but how will it be, you know, introduced into a marketplace so that it does, so that parents in particular are engaged with it?
Exactly. So what I hear is that this shift plans to align with the growing concerns, particularly I hear from where I'm sitting, teen mental health. I just want to make sure I'm getting a good grasp of what you're saying.
Okay. 100%, and somebody should be. I mean, there was another study that found that 2 in 5 teens are turning to AI for advice, for any kind of company, for support, you know, and 20% of them will tell you that talking to AI is easier than talking to a real person.
Yeah.
So, like, as part of these PG-13 guidelines, Instagram's also, at least this is what they've said, they're going to restrict AI chatbots and programs from giving, you know, age-inappropriate answer. And while teens, you know, replacing human support systems with AI is still concerning, at least to me, and I think a lot of people, this would at least prevent teens from getting harmful advice or information from AI.
Well, also, the way I see it, and you correct me if my perspective is wrong, but it is a good it's a response to AI and algorithms and addictive content. Because that, I think what you described, it was a combination of all those things.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean,
okay.
Unfortunately for all of us, whether you're young or older, you're trapped inside your own algorithm already.
Mm-hmm.
So you are hearing what, you know, you're predisposed to hearing. You are, you know, everything that is being pushed to you on any of your social media feeds, it's literally what you're already interested in, what you already are thinking. It's just taking you, you know, further down a path. And that, now that's adults. I mean, look, at the end of the day, whether Instagram's new guidelines will have an actual ripple effect on social media and AI platforms, it's going to 100% depend on its effectiveness. Mm-hmm. I mean, are their guidelines going to be successful in actually restricting, you know, teens from inappropriate content, or will teens find a way around it as they, you know, are able to do in the real world? Also, certain platforms aren't necessarily conducive to these types of restrictions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just as an example, you can access ChatGPT and TikTok without even having an account,
which
pretty much allows anybody, teens included, to go around age restrictions. So, you know, there's some issues to be worked out.
You know, and as I was getting ready to ask you this, I think you've answered it, because my next question was, well, is this going to be enough, or is this just the beginning? And
well,
at this point, we might not be able to tell, but I'm asking you anyway.
I would say that, you know, like other things that I've were we ready for the internet bubble and turned into a burst? Were we ready? Well, we weren't ready because we weren't buying stuff quite yet. So that first internet bubble was all predicated on owning a street corner. When if you don't own the street corner and you can't make money, you're not going to be able to keep it very long. And anybody, you know, even, I don't know, 15 years ago, who had anything that had broadband, you know, video without broadband access, you couldn't watch it anyway. It was just clunky at best, which it was for everybody. So, you know, with all new technology, there's things to be worked out. But, you know, if Instagram's guidelines has lasting impact, brands are definitely, to your point in the introduction, brands are definitely likely to consider how they want their PR, their marketing, their advertising to fit within whatever these restrictions actually are. On the other hand, you know, you got brands, I don't know, like American Eagle. They rely on teen customers, and they're going to have to figure out a way. They need to ensure their content meets the new standards by Instagram if they want to still access that demographic, or be more intentional on targeting teen parents. You know, alternatively, these restrictions could help limit the amount of advertising teens see from products they shouldn't have access to. You know, like nicotine vapes, just as one example.
So basically, this change is the landscape for brands that rely on teen engagement.
Well, if it works, I'll just ask.
I
mean, look, when text messaging is so important, we're all texting all day long. It's become the new way we communicate. We don't even talk to each other anymore. We text. It changes the whole way we socialize. So because your text message is so important when you're driving, and there's actually laws against it, you're not allowed to text while you drive. How many people still text while they drive? I mean, it's just like drinking and driving. Obviously, that's terrible. You're endangering everybody else, you know, on the highway. You're doing the same exact thing while you text and drive. So there is laws, but how many people follow them? How many people have their phone under their dashboard or are discreetly? I mean, I don't know. I'm on roads every day where I see people not even discreetly. They're still texting and driving.
Oh, yeah.
It's so dangerous. There's laws about it. There's heavy fines about it. People get killed that way. So, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on how they roll it out, how those guardrails are set up, how engaged in this particular case are parents of teens. And, you know, how can teens, you know, get around it? I mean, it's important to note that, you know, the Motion Picture Association, they sent Meta cease and desist for using, for even using the term PG-13, you know, for its guidelines. So welcome to the party while we're trying to figure stuff out. I mean, the Motion Picture Association says that Instagram, you know, isn't subjected by their actual, you know, film rating system, which they created, they do have ownership of. And as such, using the terminology could mean undermining the meaning of PG-13. And, you know, as an example, if Instagram fails to make restrictions on par to be to PG-13 ratings, parents might start doubting, you know, the Motion Picture Association's rating system altogether. Then Instagram likely will have to, you know, rename the guidelines. And we haven't even started yet. However, the damage to the Motion Picture Association could already be done. And it could lead to broader trust issues and, you know, and consumer trust, you know, surrounding movies. So, you know, it's a complicated topic, and it's going to take some complicated technology to make sure that, you know, we can do this. I think everybody knows it's needed. The problem is, and this is with any new technology, it's like the wild, it's the gold rush. It's the wild, wild west. There's no rules yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guardrails aren't up. We're literally, all of this is literally and metaphorically parallel the same. Picture this. Picture building a plane while you're flying it.
This is one of the, hold your thoughts. This is one of those times where I said I was going to have to interrupt you because we need to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with Eric Yabarbon. We're going to take a quick break. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I'm very pleased to have Eric Yabarbon, who knows this territory of Instagram and PG-13 inside and out. He has 40 years of experience, and we are really honored to have him. Eric, I had to interrupt you, but you continue your thoughts.
Well, you know, it's just literally picture building the plane while you're flying it. That's what we're doing. We're literally doing that. There's no guardrails. We didn't know you know, in the real world, there's a lot of rules and, you know, regulations, not in the digital space.
Okay. Will brands lose authenticity when they have to tone down their content? I mean, do I make sense asking?
Well, look, you're going to have, this is the thing. If I'm in a room, I'm going to talk different to a 13-year-old than I'm going to talk to a 40-year-old. My language might be different. My, you know, what I know about a given issue, I don't have to be so as deep as I would with somebody who's a PhD in the topic. I'm going to speak differently to, you know, and brands should do that. You know, that said, you got brands that they're literally going for that in with adult language. It's not appropriate.
So what I'm hearing, and I'm just paraphrasing to make sure I'm on the right road always, is that this could push brands toward a more thoughtful, value-based presentation, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, that you know, that's exactly correct.
Okay,
exactly correct. And you know, all I would say is the best laid plans. I mean, good intentions. Can they do it?
Yeah. Well, what?
It's the same. Look, you look at AI right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, where is AI taking us exactly?
We don't know, really.
Well, no, we have no idea. We're going to find out as we go. And it seems to me like AI is going to have some sort of vote in its own, you know, destiny, because everybody's relying on the opinion of their artificial intelligence. It's a little bit, you know, it's frightening. We need rules and regulations for all of this, for everybody's well-being.
Well, so how will these rules affect influencers whose audiences are heavy with teens?
Well, it'll definitely affect. I mean, you know, if you think about it, I'm very personally vested and interested in the fitness space, mm-hmm. personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
What you will see in the fitness space is the people with the least amount of clothing get the most amount of attention. Does that have anything to do with fitness? Will you learn how to exercise because whomever you're watching has less clothing on? No, you won't. There's no benefit from that, but that's what brings eyeballs to, you know, your page. Will you be able to do that anymore? Hopefully not. I mean, teens are look, from the stroller through adulthood, they're exposed to way too many things that their brains are not ready to process. How we dial that back is very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. So what I hear you saying is the influencers are going to have to modify their language, their visuals, and their topics. They're going to have to, unless...
That's not a bad thing.
And no, it's not bad. Not at all. You know, what I'm wondering is what happens to those creators whose content often skirts the edge of PG-13 boundaries? And I know maybe you can't even answer that. I'm thinking that as we talk. But any thoughts on that?
Well, ask me your question again.
Well, what happens to those creators who their content kind of skirts the edge of the PG-13 boundaries in the first place?
They make adjustments. I mean,
they're going to make adjustments too.
Well, they're going to have to.
They have to. Okay.
They won't be given a choice. It's like everything else. It's, you know, look, it does not matter what your age is.
Mm-hmm.
What you, bar none, you could be a 100-year-old that's listening to this interview right now. The fact that technology is advancing in our lifetimes, everybody is used to. It's all technology is done. It keeps getting better and better and better and better and faster and faster and faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
We're all used to technology improving. We are not used to the velocity at which it's improving. The fact that artificial intelligence, nobody knew that would be here in all of its glory as the way that it is today. It's way faster than anybody thought. And what's coming down the road is going to be way faster than anybody's thinking. So we better get a handle on it now.
Well, could this lead to a multi-layered ecosystem? I mean, like...
have to, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm a marketer, I'm going to have to and social media is my way to reach people. I'm going to have to do it in a different way, depending on your age.
Yes. So we are looking at the beginning of entirely a new marketing paradigm.
Well,
maybe not to that extreme, but it's going to have to.
Well, you know, look, we should be.
Uh-huh.
I would say in some way, shape or form, we always were. I mean, I grew up in a brick and mortar world. I was a national television pundit on an actual TV set for a decade. I would do better with the Facebook Live now than I would be doing with, you know, being, you know, on whatever national network I was on. Anybody can be a television host now. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? I mean, who would have thought that brick and mortar publications would be dwarfed by the size of digital distribution? But that is in fact the case. Who would have thought that information dissemination would become so rapid and so inaccurate half the time? Surveillance capitalism, which is not new, is basically why is your phone telling you that there's traffic on the route that you're going to be going on that morning when you haven't even decided that you're driving into work? How does your phone know what you're going to be doing? Why is your phone delivering messages to you that are literally what you talked about yesterday? You didn't even Google anything. Technology is evolving rapidly, and we have to evolve with it.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving to a world with platforms that create maybe, I don't know how to say, youth zones?
Youth zones. But look, yeah. I talk about this all the time. I live in the real world. That's where I really live. Check me out in the digital world. Man, I am happy 24/7. I am in extraordinary condition 24/7. I eat well. I hobnob with the rich and the famous. I go to fancy. Everything is great. Mm-hmm. That's not real. That's what I put on social media, like everybody else. I'm not. Nobody wants to hear about my problems. Life is hard for 100% of people. We all have good times. We all have bad times. We all have, you know, the extraordinary events. We also have extraordinary losses, all of us. Life is that we're literally all the same. You know about that in the real world. In the digital world, not so much. Everybody seems pretty darn happy in there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the youth, and when I say youth, I'm talking, you know, up to, 40s. They have a skewed view of the world because they get so much of their information not from climbing a tree, not from having an actual face-to-face conversation, not from doing anything but text messaging or seeing what all their best friends are doing on Facebook. That's not the real world.
Well, the real world, though, says that teens will find workarounds.
Experientially, yes, right. That's exactly right. So let's manage expectations, you know, and deal with, you know, real life and say, if you want to manage expectations based on history, history says as long as anybody again has been alive, teens figure out ways, to go around things. And by the way, they're faster than the adults are at technology.
That's true.
By a lot.
A lot. So let me ask you, based on your expertise, what types of mistakes do you expect companies to make early on?
Intentional ones. Believe it or not. They're going to make intentional ones because it's going to get more press and they still care about that. So if they make intentional mistakes and they cause friction, that's the almighty algorithm now. The almighty algorithm is all about friction. As long as we're fighting about something, we're going to get eyeballs. We're going to get attention. We're going to get in a plethora of other algorithms that we never would have gotten to. We all need to fight a little bit more, and then the algorithm works. So what do marketers do? They want to do exactly the same thing. So trust me, there'll be people and they'll apologize and they'll be, you know, they'll run something once and it'll be way out of bounds. It'll get an enormous amount of attention that will be it will just spread everywhere. Intentional ones. That's what's going to happen out of the gate. They're going to make mistakes on purpose.
Do you expect TikTok and YouTube and Snapchat to follow Instagram's lead?
I expect if there's enough public pressure, which I doubt. Mm-hmm. I mean, Basically, the pressure is going to come from everybody, you know, 20 and above. And forget 20. It's going to come from everybody 50 and above.
And, okay.
You know, that pressure, you know, that's that. Just think about demographics and marketing and the almighty dollar, which is all anybody cares about in your algorithm, is making a dollar off you. That's the thing about social media people don't get. We're the product. Social media is literally using us because we're buying stuff all the time. We're being directed. We are the product. Everything should be flipped on its head. You should use social media, not get used by it. Like, I'm a fitness guy. I like I'm very engaged in physical fitness. I want to have accountability. My Instagram presence is completely based on me wanting to make sure that I have a 10,000-day goal in fitness. I'm going to work out for 10,000 days. That's until I'm in my 80s. I'm going to do that. The only way I'm going to do that is if I'm held accountable. So I post the workout every single solitary day. I've been doing this for over 10 years on Instagram. I'm using social media. It makes me accountable. And then, you know, I'm able to spin a few lessons, you know, along the way, as opposed to just buying what my algorithm's sending to me.
Mm-hmm. Could regulation or legislation push all platforms towards similar standards?
Yes, of course. But, you know, people still rob banks.
Right. yes.
And, you know, they also got smarter about robbing banks. They could, you know, do it digitally now. They don't even have to go into the bank with their, you know, gun and hold up the teller. They can go online and, you know, hack your bank account. And they do. Or, you know, a million other ways that we all get scammed on the internet. So, yeah, definitely. But, you know, here's the thing about what we found about, you know, life in a digital world is we keep building, you know, bigger and bigger fences to keep the bad guys out of our lives. And what the bad guys do is they just get taller ladders. That's what's been going on so far. So, you know, this is all well-intentioned and all something we should be doing more than paying just lip service to. So let's see what they got.
What about the parents? How should parents interpret this move? I mean, should they interpret it with caution or reassurance? You know, where can parents sit on this?
Well, for starters, and you know, I'm God's gift to awful parenting when it comes to this. if your kids have a cell phone with any sort of unrestricted access, and they also have a door to their bedroom that they can close, you're already in trouble. So, I mean, parents ought to get that memo that cell phone is very, very dangerous because you're going to let your kids close their door in their own room. If you're going to let them close your door, make sure there's restricted access to their cell phones,
right,
you know, at age appropriate times. And don't ignore that. I did.
Well, what do you think this shift reveals about the overall direction of online culture?
Well, what it reveals is a recognition of, you know, where it's gone wrong. I mean, it shows us, you know, be careful what you wish for, unintended consequences. Nobody thought about this. I mean, unintended consequences are rather severe. So it shows that people at least know that part now. What we're able to do about it is, I would say, one big, you know, TBD. We'll see.
Do you think teens will migrate to other platforms to bypass? Well, and they will. I'm sure they will. But bypass?
You answer your own question. And
yeah.
Everybody knows that. I mean,
they're going to migrate.
Yeah. I mean, just every generation figured out where to go to have their own, you know, to have their fun. And when you're younger, that's what you should do. Have fun.
Yeah.
You're going to grow up. You're going to have a job someday. You're going to have to pay a mortgage. You know, life gets hard. Definitely enjoy being a kid. You know, climb a tree. Go, you know, play a game with your friends. Have a good time when you're a kid. But, you know, along with have a good time when you're a kid, is, you know, them figuring out how to have their version of a good time. It might be different than my version of a good time.
But, you know, these platforms that we're being pushed toward could be healthier algorithms or all overall. I mean, they could be. I mean, I know I'm saying it kind of iffy, but there is that possibility there, correct?
Always. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, issues in life. You know, we've had many, you know, our entire lives, and we've figured out, you know, that's where the magic of life in general lies, is how do we take bad situations and turn them into good situations? How to, just like, you know, social media, instead of getting used by it, use it. How do we take all of these situations and make them, you know, a productive part of our lives? Because, you know, in part, they absolutely will be. Mm-hmm. There's all of those good intentions will see them, will play themselves out, but okay. So will unintended consequences both. And if we readily acknowledge that particular factoid, we'll work on the unintended consequences part harder and harder. We're going to need to.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I'm talking with Eric Yabberbaum. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you and continue to talk about the changes in Instagram.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and today we are diving in to the major shift of the world of social media and youth protection. Instagram has announced that all teen accounts will now, by default, be limited to content comparable to what would appear in a PG-13 movie. Joining us, again, I welcome Eric Yabberbaum, CEO of Eric Communications, a leader in public relations, crisis management, and brand strategy. Eric, what long-term effects do you foresee for youth engagement online?
Well, you know, youth engagement online is a tool. You can learn faster. You can get more information. You can take classes. You can watch. I mean, everybody's learning how to do all sorts of things on YouTube. That's amazing. That's really cool. You don't even have to leave your home, even though I strongly suggest, you know, that you do. starting with the kids in their stroller, they're going to get more and more out of their technology. That's a big plus. Along with the big plus, along with all the things in life that it will make simpler, are, you know, lots of bad things. And we must figure out how to police the bad things and promote the good things. We must promote the things that will make our lives better, more fulfilling, healthier mentally and physically, more enjoyable. I mean, you only get today. I promise if today is spent completely on your computer, it's not going to be nearly as good if you were outside with a friend for an hour.
What about the marketers? What do they need to do tomorrow morning to prepare for these changes?
Well, they're not going to.
Okay.
I mean, they're not. They're going to, you know, that, you know, part of them doesn't believe, you know, these sorts of guardrails are ever going to be effective. And to your point that, you know, kids will find a way around it or find another platform. That's some of them. Some of them absolutely know, and they're not wrong, that if they become even more provocative, more edgy, that it will get a lot of attention because it's the opposite of what they're supposed to do. And they must be a big, bad brand if they're doing that. They're definitely going to do it and they're going to get attention for it. So there's that group. And, you know, then there's the group of, you know, people who are actually, you know, well-intentioned and will try their best. There will definitely be some of that. And that's the biggest plus of all of this conversation is there will be people like that. I mean, it's just like, you know, Fred Rogers said when I was a kid that in times of trouble, look for the helpers. Mm-hmm. If you see there's helpers, you know there's hope. There's absolutely helpers, as it pertains to this issue.
As we talk about the marketers, do you expect this shift to hurt or help Instagram's overall engagement numbers?
We'll see. I mean, look, is Instagram going to survive forever? Is Facebook going to last forever? Is TikTok? I don't know. I bet the farm on Twitter, and I was right in the beginning, but I don't know what happened. You know, the wheels on the bus started coming off of that. A lot of people bet the farm on not Facebook, but, you know, what was the other platform called that was heavy in music at the time? The name's eluding me right now. But if you don't pick the right social media, numbers go up and numbers go down. Kids move around. TikTok was not here 10 years ago. It wasn't the rage that it was. Who did TikTok, you know, who did they steal marketplace from? There's going to be more social mediums, more shiny objects. And I don't know which platforms will be here and which won't. Right. You know, it certainly stands to reason that the bigger ones will have staying power, but it also stands to reason that there's going to be some social platform that you have never heard of that by next year will be bigger than all of them.
Well, how does Meta see this? Do they see it as a long-term strategy, or do they just see it as damage control?
It's a good question. Well, it starts as damage control.
Mm-hmm.
What Elizabeth Dole taught me, you know, in the real world was the worst time to, you know, prepare is when the tide is rising. So, you know, that's what all these social media platforms are doing. They're preparing now. The tide is rising really fast. So, you know, yeah, it starts as damage control. It could end in something good.
Okay, all right. And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I think you might. You seem to know, be right on top of everything. What can we anticipate platforms looking like 5 years from now if this trend continues? Put it that way.
Oh, I mean, just take AI, multiply it times virtual reality, multiply it by how fast the human brain can process incoming information. You're going to see things like you've never seen in your life in the next 5 years. They're unimaginable. The virtual reality in and of itself, it hasn't even gotten up to bat yet.
Yeah.
Wait till you see what virtual reality will do. And what virtual reality will do multiplied times artificial intelligence, I cannot even imagine. I have seen things in development that are just mind-blowing and real that, you know, you'll see 10, 20 years down the road. You'll be able to live in an environment of any era of your life that you want to and actually do it. Assisted by artificial intelligence and, you know, virtual reality. You want to live in your childhood bedroom for the rest of your life? You can't. You'll be able to.
Is that not healthy? A good thing.
I don't know. You want to talk to, you know, somebody that you've lost and get advice from them? A parent, a sibling, a child, whatever. Anybody that deeply, profoundly affected you when they passed away, you want to talk to them still? Because you'll be able to. I mean, I can go on and on and on about how different things will be. But, you know, while I gave you, you know, examples that might be troubling to hear, there's going to be so many great ones. And, you know, I think all of our actual health will be better. I think we're going to find cures for lots of illnesses that we've had our entire, you know, lifetimes. You know, I hope all sorts of things will improve, you know, in this country and around the world because of the way technology connects us all. You know, and I do think a lot of that will happen.
Okay. What about the liability? What liability do brands and influencers face if their content violates the PG-13 rules?
I would say that, you know, the terrible letter that you get that you violated the PG-13 rules, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what else could there be.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Well, someday, you know, the Congress, assuming our government works properly, the Congress should be voting on legislation so that there is actual recourse and ramifications for poor behavior. But they've barely started that conversation. And honestly, that's a young person's sport. We need all the youth involved in that conversation as we can possibly get, because unfortunately, all the wisdom and experience in the world is not going to be anything like youthful experience. We need help.
Yeah. What's the role? Is there a role for transparency and ethical responsibility?
I don't know. I honestly, I always thought there was. I'm not so sure anymore. But
yeah. You
know, in my mind, I've talked about it my entire life, and it was always the case. Integrity always prevailed.
Uh-huh.
You know, transparent. You know, everybody's quote unquote transparent. Everybody's quote unquote authentic. Not really. You're in the minority if you are. I don't get that. Why would you want to be anything but who you are, what you are? Why would you want to? It seems like a terrible way to live, but a lot of people do. So it's not so. There's authenticity in the world. Is off. Mm-hmm. Transparency in the world is up, but if it's not authentic, who cares? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mimic anything that's real. So, you know, there's you know, blessings and curses everywhere that you look. I have literally always believed that people have always followed me into fires when I was younger. When I was younger, my reputation was for crisis management. If there was a fire burning, circling you, you wanted me in the middle of the circle with you. I was your guy. We were definitely walking out of that fire 100% of the time. Everybody's walking out with me. No one's getting burned. In the old days, that was what my reputation was. Mm-hmm. We need calmer heads to prevail today. And it's not so terrible. It's just heading in that direction.
Do you think that PG-13 content policies could become legally mandated across the platforms? Is that realistic thinking?
Well,
or not, you know? I mean, go ahead.
It could be a law, but just to give you a perspective, yes, it could be a law.
Okay.
But let's look at the Motion Picture, you know, Association, mm-hmm. who literally, they make the law for movies, and that's why we have a term like PG-13. They mm-hmm. made that up.
Right.
And they enforce it. Who's going to enforce PG-13 on Instagram? Because it's not going to be the Social Media Association. So are we up to that task? Can we do that?
I don't see it. That's why I keep asking that. I mean,
look, again, the Motion Picture Association, obviously a lot of money, a part of, you know, pop culture, a part of culture, period. Mm-hmm. They police themselves. Mm-hmm. And it does work. You know, that said, I can literally turn on, Amazon Prime or Netflix and see things on television just as the teaser ad that I I would never want a kid to see. It's just the ad, uh-huh. not exactly. the movie. It's not the series.
Well, that kind of leads to my next question I was going to ask you. Do you see industries like fashion or gaming having to rethink their creative direction more?
Well, unfortunately, same principles hold true today as I would have said about, you know, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Power, it just corrupts. And the only thing worse than that is money. So you think gaming is going to police themselves with all that money? They're going to want to make actually more money because that's what they've always done. Where is our moral compass now? I mean, why is there? Gambling, which used to be bad and an addiction, is now suddenly hugged and embraced and legal absolutely everywhere. Why? Because there's money.
Yeah.
Always been the case. Money and power, both bad.
Are there any examples of brands already doing this well? As we talk about it, I'm not aware. I don't know, but I just
no. There's
know.
No. Yes, I'm sure there is. I don't know any.
Okay.
And one of the reasons that I don't know anybody is, I'm very well read. I'm very up to date. It hasn't pierced my world now. The conversation itself, of course, it has. The examples of people doing good, as it pertains to, let's put parameters on what we're talking about and say PG-13, mm-hmm. On Instagram. Is anybody doing anything that's what we would consider a good example? I haven't seen one yet.
In these last couple of minutes, if you could give one guiding principle, what would it be for this?
Oh, everybody, look, at the end of the day, we're all the same. You know what I want to do tonight? I want to have dinner. It's really cool. I want to have dinner. And then I want to sleep in my bed and be warm in the heat because it's freezing outside. But maybe the exact same as you and a few thousand of your closest listeners sort of thing. We're all the same. Treat everybody the same, whether you do it in the real world or whether you do it in the digital world. And know that there's people out there that actually want to help with all of these issues. So there's a lot of hope out there, and you should be participatory in that.
I agree. That's idealistic. I mean, realistic may not happen. Everybody's not treated the same.
It's certainly not the way the river's flowing now or anything remotely close to it. That said, I'm never giving up. I don't. There's a lot of things about the world I do not like at all right now. I think we're in a whole world of hurt. You want to know about real people, but that aside, I want to help anywhere I possibly can, if I can. And there's a lot of people like that out there. Does it mean we'll prevail? Not necessarily, but crazier things have happened.
All right. Well, first of all, I would like to say we really appreciate you sharing your time and your expertise. I mean, it's been real. And I think that you have been very, very informative. So basically, it's time out. for 411 Team. Today's conversation has shed a light on the digital world undergoing rapid transformation. Instagram's move to PG-13 content restrictions signal a new chapter in online safety. Again, many thanks to Eric Yavarban for his clarity, his expertise, and thoughtful guidance as this shift takes effect. To my listening audience, much appreciation for your time and your ear. Until next time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Team at WFSU.org.